So we're going to have a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Before we do, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that your word speaks to us. And so we ask that as we look at this passage together, we wouldn't just engage in an intellectual exercise, but that our hearts, our ears and our minds would be open to what you have to say to us as a church and as individuals. Where we need encouragement, we ask that you would speak to us gently and lovingly. Where we need to be challenged and rebuked, give us the grace to hear your voice and to obey you. Amen. Well, when I was younger, occasionally my parents would go out, and when we were old enough not to need a babysitter, they would leave my sister and myself at home for the evening, and they would go off either for an evening out, or perhaps they were actually going to a home group or something like that. And we would have the house to ourselves and the run of the house for the evening. And that's such a wonderful temptation when you're young, isn't it? So the TV went on, the stereo went on, full blast. A lot of mum and dad's records are very badly scratched now as a result of those days. And I don't know if any of you younger ones have done this, but into the kitchen and into the fridge to see what was available to eat. And we had a great time. We ran wild. We found all sorts of combinations of sandwiches that you could make. What works and what doesn't work. Salad cream is great on bread. Probably not so good with ice cream as well. You know, those sorts of things. Tried it all. Discovered that when you knock red food dye out of the cupboard, it stains the stove. And then we would hear the car in the drive. Have you guys been there, that sudden realisation? Mum and Dad are coming home. And it's bad news because you're going to be in trouble. Should have been ready for Mum and Dad to come home. Everything should have been tidied up. We should have been in our pyjamas. Probably should have been in bed. Everything should have been ready, and we weren't. When I was younger, and perhaps some of you can remember this type of talk as well, that was one of the examples that we used to have in talks that we heard. Will you be ready for when Jesus comes back? If Jesus was to come back at this minute and find what you were doing, what state would you be in? Would you like Jesus to come back and just as you're thinking that thought, just as you're doing that wrong thing, what a terrible thing that would be. It's quite scary. I'm not sure you hear that sort of thing these days, do you? But I'm tempted to say that we don't hear that much about Jesus coming back in churches. It's not something we talk about much. It's not something we spend much time reading about in the Bible. I think there's possibly two reasons for that. Firstly, because a lot of us grew up with the return of Jesus being that fear factor, that thing that scared us. What happens if? Probably the other reason, and I think something that those of you that are younger than me should actually be grateful to God for, is that you've been spared some of the stuff that was going around, because talking about Jesus coming back was an opportunity to get some of the weirdest people with some of the weirdest ideas to fill churches, to do talks, and to write books. And so a lot of us have thought, talking about Jesus coming back is what nutters do. And so we're going to stay clear of that because we don't want to get involved in all the odd stuff. And it all seems a bit complicated and a bit difficult to work out. And it just leads to people disagreeing and having arguments. So we'll stay away from that and we'll stay on the safe ground. Well, Jesus is coming back. And so it's something we want to talk about as a church. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Now, if it's something that's not talked about in the church, it's probably fair to say it's something that simply isn't believed outside of the church. And so we looked at our first two questions there. Do you want to put them up for us, Pete? What reasons do people give for not believing that Jesus will come back? And then we looked at why does Peter say they don't believe? Well, we're going to do some work together now, and I'm pleased to have the crack troops from Friday Group here on this middle table, plus the Celtic Fringe as well. So, what did you find out? Why do people not believe that Jesus is coming back? So a lot of people will say, I don't believe that Jesus is coming back. You know, when you die, that's it. So they actually don't believe that there's anything beyond this world. Any other reasons? Let's see. What other reasons did you find out as you were talking together? Okay, thank you. Yeah, and over at the back there.
So
Barbara was just saying a lot of people say, well, it's not happened yet. There's been a lot of time passed. Alex, what are you?
Sometimes people are scared, like, if they think that it will
come. Okay, so Alex was saying there are a lot of people find this sort of thing quite scary. And that second question, what reasons does Peter say? What reasons does he give for people not believing? Now, the students over here, you were actually saying, good to have you guys back, by the way, close to the table over here. You were saying that the reasons that Peter gives are perhaps not the same reasons that the people give themselves. So what sorts of reasons would you come up with there that Peter actually says? Why do people not believe? So I don't know if you heard that, but what was said there is that people actually deliberately forget. So we may talk about the reasons that people have, that people give themselves. What Peter says is actually there's something deliberate going on here. And it's probably to do with what Peter says in verse 3, where he says that people scoff and follow their own evil desires. The idea of Jesus coming back, the idea of him being king, does not fit with me being king and in charge of my own life. The two don't go together. And so people deliberately choose to ignore the facts of history. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the objective evidence a couple of weeks back with Bernard about God's activity in history. We've seen how clear it is that God intervened in time to create the world. And we saw how the evidence shows us that God intervened in the person Jesus Christ to intervene, to die, and to rise again. So Peter says those sorts of things these people deliberately ignore. They ignore the fact that God made the world. They ignore the fact that God deliberately intervened in history to send the flood as judgment. And I think it's implied here that they deliberately forget that Jesus came the first time, that he died on the cross and rose again. So there are reasons that we may have as external reasons. We've not seen anything happen. We can't see any evidence for God. But actually what Peter says is this is deliberate. It's human sinfulness that makes us deny the fact that Jesus is coming back. Well, what about us? Because the second set of questions got personal, didn't we? Do we believe that Jesus is coming back? I hope the answer is yes. I checked the church website, and we've got a little statement there of what we believe as a church. I wonder if you've read it. Because one of the things that statement, that all the churches in our group of churches sign up to, is that we believe that Jesus is going to come back as king to judge the world. I'm sure that if I was to get a show of hands tonight, we'd all put our hands up and say, yes, I believe that Jesus is going to come back. The next question there was, what evidence is there for this? I think that's a critical question for us tonight. I want to make a provocative statement to us. See, I think one of the reasons that people outside of the church don't believe that Jesus is coming back is because actually Christians don't believe that Jesus is coming back. Dare I suggest that there are probably some of us here that, if we're honest, don't believe that Jesus is coming back. Why do I say that? Because the proof is in the evidence, isn't it? It's easy to make an intellectual statement, I believe that Jesus will return. But you know, when Peter wrote this letter, he wasn't looking for people to have long Bible studies and to write big theological books about the truth of Jesus coming back. Peter was writing to churches a very practical letter. He was saying, if you believe that Jesus is coming back, there are implications. There's an important clue in that. Do you want to put the next slide up for us, Fee? Who likes sandwiches here? Not the sort of little flimsy ones. Come on, who likes big, fat sandwiches? Yeah. Who likes their Burger Kings and their McDonald's and those sorts of things? I love sandwiches. I love the deli sandwiches that you can get in McDonald's. I think they're great. Who put their hands up just then? What's your favourite filling? Of any sandwich. You like burgers in your sandwich? Burger and cheese. How about over here? Do we have any sandwich lovers over here? No? What about Barbara? What's your favourite? Mouth-watering, isn't it? Lovely stuff. I like sweet chilli chicken. Okay, if anybody wants to make me a sandwich, sweet chilli chicken. Great stuff. The important thing about a sandwich is what goes in the middle, isn't it? Bread's great, but what really counts is the flavour, the meat, the cheese, the salad, all that stuff that goes in the middle and gives it its flavour. Well, we've got a sandwich here. I don't know if you can see it. You see, it's fascinating, isn't it, the way that Peter builds up his argument in this passage and the way that he uses language. And what he does, have a look, let's find the verses in our Bible so that you can follow this through. Have a look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So first of all, Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned and dissolved. Now, we could have long and fascinating discussions, especially the scientists amongst us, about how that's all going to happen. And people did spend a lot of time in the past trying to work these things out. Is it going to be a reverse of the Big Bang? Are we going to see a big crunch at the end? Is a comet going to hit the Earth in 2050 or whenever? And so all the atmosphere will be burnt up and then the world will be scorched. Is Peter talking about the atomic bomb? That was the big scare for a long time, wasn't it? That the Russians and the Americans would destroy the world. Maybe today that sort of thing is coming back. Will it be destroyed by some rogue terrorist? Well, first of all, it's not going to be an accident. It's not just going to be some accident of nature that happens, nor is it going to be a rogue terrorist or George W. Bush or Putin or whoever that does this. This is all in God's plan. But secondly, the reason that those words are there is not for us to have that kind of technical discussion. And the clue is this. He goes on and repeats it. Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved. You see that repetition there. The heavens set on fire and dissolved. Now when that happens in the Bible, when you see repetition, it's meant to make you sit up and look. And what we're meant to do there is sit up and look and see what is in the middle. And here we have it. This is your sandwich filling. This is the beef and radish and chilli sauce. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? You see, Peter was saying that these people were doubting and scoffing. And the reason that they were doubting and scoffing and saying it's all not happened is that God was actually being patient with people. Jesus could have returned already, but he was giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel. How were they going to hear the gospel? It was going to be as believers lived lives that glorified God, that pointed to Jesus, and as they spoke to other people about Jesus. If we believe that Jesus is coming back, our lives will be different. So that means, if we believe that Jesus is coming back, first of all, we will be more excited about personal evangelism and less worried about what people will think about us. Secondly, we won't hold grudges with other people for long periods of time. When we fall out with people, we will get right with them. Thirdly, we will repent of sin in our own lives. Fourthly, we will prioritise our activities. We will change our ambitions. The important thing for us will not be how high am I going to get in my career? Will I find the right relationship? Will I be wealthy? The important thing will be, is my relationship with God right? And am I witnessing to those around me about what he has done for me? My parents are coming down to visit Sarah and myself this new year. To come and see us in our new flat. Be a terrible shame, wouldn't it, if our response to that was the same as that dread all those years ago when the car came back in the drive. that fear of them coming. No, we're looking forward to Mum and Dad Williams coming down at the new year. We're excited about it. But it would also be wrong if we just sat back, let the dust gather, let the flat fall to rack and ruin, and be laced out in a pile of Quality Street wrappers watching New Year TV when the car pulled up, wouldn't it? No, we'll be ready. House will be clean and tidy, I hope. And we'll be waiting at the door to greet them. Jesus is coming back. Will we be ready for him?